We're here, ready to hang out. Where are you?
They're coming. Give them time.
This party was supposed to start.
For another 5 minutes.
Oh, they're probably bringing snacks.
Most likely.
That is probably it. Yeah. Like raspberry pie. Anybody? Nobody.
It's the on-demand.
Oh, this is freaking me out.
There you go. So people can watch.
Ooh.
Just posting all the links here, folks.
Cool dudes. Very cool. Oh, what?
You're
Seriously,
the one who did it.
internet? Oh, come on. It's just like
You did
classic.
it. You did it.
The Google machine always making fun of me to my face.
So if I
No, I feel a sneeze coming on.
Do you?
This won't make for good television.
Okay. I'm gonna mute the mics.
Wait, I think it's gone.
Got it. That's awesome. All right,
Yay.
got it. Okay, cat5.tv/gplus. Oh hey, how are you? Just getting the links up.
Cheers.
Who's there?
Who are you? Jim Samuel.
Hey guys.
Welcome.
Samuel, do you have a mic or a camera?
Mic.
Cool.
Cool, we hear you loud and
We
clear.
hear you. Welcome. Just getting things posted here, folks. Just so everybody gets the link. Boy, do they ever embed things now, eh, at G Plus? Like, it's so tough to get the proper links to post. Just to be jerks.
How rude.
Google. Quit being so mean.
So mean.
Oh, okay. I think I just posted that twice, too. That was my
Uh-oh.
fault. Oh,
Oh
well.
dear.
Okay. Events. I have to post it 3 times in order for it to show up in
Hokey
all the places.
doodle, this is
I know,
quite
three
the
times?
event.
Come on. Come
This
on,
is
Google.
surely the
Let me
event
post
of
it
the week.
once. Here we go. There. What up?
Hey, we got it. We got it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Can you see this light? I'm shining it in your eyes.
Hey, guys.
Give us a sign. Let us know what's up.
We'll give a couple minutes for everybody to kind of trickle in here.
Whoa.
Hey, Daryl.
The link for Google Plus is
It's.
what?
Oh, did they just join? It's all. I posted both links. So, look up!
Woohoo.
How's it going, Daryl?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. You?
Pretty good. Can you
Good.
hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you great. Where are you from?
Good. I didn't know if my mic was working last time.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate the batteries. Thanks.
Oh, is this Tennessee Frank?
You got him.
Hey,
yay,
buddy.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, no problem. It kind of helped to open up the box this time around, eh? Because everything, it looks so small, but it's like when you realize that's a boatload of batteries right there.
Yeah, they pack them in there.
Yeah, they sure do.
Those will come in handy this winter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. That's good. Well, congrats. We've got, I see Jim there. Jim,
yeah.
Can you hear us all right?
Maybe not.
And for those who are watching on YouTube, welcome to the excitement.
Hey.
The behind the scenes after party, where we drink water.
Cheers. Cheers to that, people.
It's going to get rough. Just giving a few minutes for everybody to kind of.
It's not that kind of party, Robbie. Whoa.
You're already throwing things.
Whoa.
Boy, oh boy. Well, that was fun, eh? Quite the night tonight.
We always have so much going on, eh?
Yeah.
But makes for an interesting show, I hope.
I thought that was some pretty cool software.
I thought. I agree. What'd you guys think?
How'd you like all my jokes? Because before the show, you were like, don't even try. You're just not funny, Robbie.
I didn't say that in so many words.
Kind of hinted to it.
Did not.
Well, when I made a joke, you were like,
I don't laugh. Ever.
Rachel Hsu was giving me a hard time because we're selling smiles for $2 on our fundraising campaign. So she said, so now when I see you, if I tell a joke, do I have to slip you a toonie every time I want you to smile?
Yes, I feel like that makes sense.
I smiled and I said, pay up.
Give me your money. Thanks. What a hoot. What
yeah.
A holla.
Cat5.tv/studio.
Yeah, let's see if we got that $2.
A toonie?
Come
on,
oh,
guys.
Man.
Anybody have a toonie?
Nobody.
We're $2 away from $1,500 raised.
No, nothing.
It seems
man, come
kinda on. Wonky. Something's broken. It stopped at $14.98.
Still got 11 days though.
Yeah. To raise $2.
$2, yeah.
We still gotta hit that 17,000, man. Yeah.
It's possible.
It's going to happen.
Excuse me, I got a bit of a sniffle happening here.
Mm.
It's probably getting cold up your way.
Oh, man. Winter's on its way, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's been a bit. It's getting there, eh? A little bit of snow last night. But
yeah.
It's coming and going right now, but it'll soon come and stay.
We've had a couple cold fronts move through here, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in the... I think we kind of... Well, we've had a lot of wind, eh?
Mm-hmm.
It's been really, really, like, almost frighteningly windy.
Yeah.
So, Sunday, I mentioned Backstage Pass was down. Tonight, I didn't mention it on the air, but we had, fortunately, no trees came down this year so far. Knock on wood. But our server that runs Backstage Pass, we had a big power surge on Sunday.
Ugh.
So, I think it's kind of... Well, I called it a server. It's like an old, old, old computer. It's like the ancient antique. But we had 3 hours with no power at 1 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
Aww.
So, of course, you know, what's Robbie doing when he's supposed to be sleeping? I'm down here
servicing
all the systems, making sure that the servers get shut down in the proper order and getting... I didn't beat the clock, though. UPSs didn't hold very long.
Hmm.
3 hours.
You guys have a backup generator?
No, not here, because it's we're in the basement of my house right now, right? So we have pretty decent UPSs. Like, we've got all 1500 volt amp UPSs. I think they're all 1500s.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's a 1000 there, an oldie but a goodie, an old Backups Pro.
Hmm. Like, I remember that lightning strike. You said took a couple of them out.
Yeah, we had one where the UPSs themselves got fried, but the connected equipment were they were fine. So that was okay, because I ended up I dug out some UPSs from the garage that were just in storage from before, and put new batteries in them.
Wow.
So it ended up costing, if I recall correctly, I think it was like $60, and I replaced the batteries in two UPSs. Both of them are 1500 volt amps. So it was a good way to do it. Cheap.
I think it was an EMP from a nearby lightning strike that took my old iMac out.
You know, it could have been an EMP here, because I was standing in the kitchen doing up the veg, and a lightning bolt struck just over the not even over the horizon, but just about two blocks from where I was standing. So I actually felt the thunder kind of on my chest as it hit. So
yeah, I was plugged into a surge protector.
Yeah.
And it still killed it. I mean, it was dead.
Were you plugged into Ethernet?
Yeah, it might have came through that.
Some people don't realize, but and I have businesses that are like this, you know, and you've got a bunch of good computers, and they're all on good UPSs and good power surge protectors, but then you've got the computers in the warehouse. Oh, nobody cares about those computers, so just plug them directly into the wall, or just into these stupid NOMA things that are, you know, no good for anything but Christmas lights. And then the surge happens. Of course, it hits those old computers that are unprotected, and it goes through the Ethernet, and it kills everything else. And at the very least, it's going to kill the server room switch, which, you know, in a server room environment is a good, you know, $1,000 easy.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was a blessing in disguise, though. It got me on the Linux.
Perfect.
Oh, it worked out well.
That's perfect.
After a rough week with Windows 8.
A rough week.
Yeah. We went to Walmart and bought a Windows 8 laptop, and we had it about a week, and my wife got a Trojan horse off Facebook.
Just like that.
It totally borked the system. So
wow.
We had a 15-day return policy on it. We took it back, and
yeah.
I bought some old laptops off eBay and threw Linux on them.
There you go. What distro are you using again?
Right now, Point Linux.
Oh, good. Are you enjoying it?
Oh, I love it.
It's good, eh?
Yeah. I pretty much stopped looking around. I was doing a lot of distro hopping for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've stopped. I mean, I'll still play with one on my little number three. I got three laptops, cheap ones. And I put KWeezy on it last night. I was up late with it, but KDE is just way too complicated.
Yeah.
And then I went ahead and I put a Crunch Bang on it today just to look around. Okay. And that's
different, eh? We looked at that, I think, in season four, which you can actually watch now, so that's cool. Thanks to Samuel, who just brought us up to $1,500.
Oh, yay! Thank you! Fishing for that $2, yeah. So
hey,
we appreciate
Raven.
It.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit better. It's an even number, kill number. Whew.
Yeah, can't have odd numbers.
No. Too bizarre for me. What is our circle name on the Hangout?
Well, if you just go to cat5.tv/GPLUS, GPLUS, takes you right there.
Okay.
And it's Category 5 Technology TV is the circle name, though, for the community. The community name.
Have you been hanging out on the Point Linux forum at all, Robbie?
What's that, Daryl?
Have you been hanging out on the Point Linux forum at all?
I haven't. We love the system, but my time is pretty tough to keep up with too many communities, so I pretty much tend to focus on our own.
Right. I know Peter was saying he was thinking of maybe using Jesse for the next Point Linux.
Yeah, he's pretty innovative, and he seems to do a good job of using unstable and making it stable. Like,
right.
he did the same with Wheezy, and it was great before Wheezy was considered stable. So, and I wouldn't mind seeing that, because it's a little bit, you know, bleeding edge. It's always got the latest, so.
One thing I like about Point is, even though it is Debian-based, you still get Firefox.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah, I like Point.
Yeah.
Hey, Raven. I've been using it a while. I actually installed Chromium, though, But I, you notice on the show, though, that I do end up using Firefox. Just out of, I don't know. But as the web developer in me wants to use Chrome. But I do, there's Firefox running there. So
I'm just so used to Firefox. I even use it on my old iMac.
Yeah. Certain things about it I love, but they've kind of fallen behind when it comes to CSS3 and HTML5. Mostly CSS3. They need to catch up.
They've just upgraded it to 25 also.
Yeah.
I only use Chrome as my main browser, but sometimes I use Firefox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I do. I still have some things that I find work better in Firefox, just because I developed them on Firefox, I think.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That does make sense.
You go with what you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yup.
Yeah. I'll be right back, but I'm still here.
He's here, but he's not here. Mm-hmm. What are we going to talk about? He's taking a picture. Oh. Going to be snapping unfortunate pictures of me. Not being prepared.
Those will be on the website tomorrow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Robbie likes to pick the really flattering shots of me for the website. Really flattering ones, so. It is what it is, bro. There we go.
Oh, yeah, Robbie, did you get that email that I sent you?
What was it?
Cacti.
What's that?
The Cacti links.
I did, yes. Thank you so much. I want to have a good look at that when I have the chance. Did you have any success getting that going?
Yeah, I'm actually using it right now.
Oh, good. That's server monitoring software, system monitoring. Looks pretty decent.
Actually, it's much simpler than in the video. All you have to do is just use apt-get install Cinti and then space Cinti dash spine and then you have to install SNPD and then just configure that, and that's all you have to do.
Nice.
And it's the GUI is completely through the web browser.
Yeah. That's cool. It looked a little more...
It's stagnant.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a stagnant monitoring. It updates every minute.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say it's the same kind of premise as Nagios, but it looks a little bit more refined as far as UI goes or UX. So I wouldn't mind checking it out just for that, because I know Nagios is pretty. It's excellent. I love Nagios for our servers and things, but it's robust, but it's difficult to administer for novice users.
Xenos is the other one that I've been using, and it's really in depth. You have a lot more control, and it's active monitoring. It's not stagnant.
The other one that we use here, we talked about it on the show quite a while ago. I'm going to see if I can. I'm going to go to search.category5.tv.
Pull that guy on there.
It was server monitoring. Do a quick search for that. Monitoring your websites and servers for free.
It was something uplink, uptime robot or something like that.
Uptime robot.
Yeah, I've used that.
It's decent for testing if web accessible servers are up. Yeah, that's right. It was about 36 minutes into episode number 231. Again, Hillary was on that show, so you know absolutely that you're going to enjoy it.
Yep.
Right. Yes, of course.
I like that one for just telling me, like, if our RSS feeds go down, rather than having to set up Nagios rules and stuff, just let our Uptime Robot tell me. It pings me.
I usually have it do it main IP ping.
Yeah.
Is what I usually have it, just to, 100% make sure that the servers are up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's good. I look forward to checking it out. I appreciate you sending me the email.
No problem.
We're not hearing a lot from Samuel here.
No.
Congrats on winning the batteries.
Thanks. Appreciate it. You know, I can always use more batteries.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
I was hoping I'd win it. I could always use more batteries.
I believe it.
Yeah, I got 3 kids. And you want to talk about battery usage?
All those toys.
I mean, that's part of why the whole eco-friendly thing strikes me as important, because you go through them so fast.
Yep. Single-handedly, you
My son says to me last night, even, like last night, Eagle Piggle battery died. So, okay, so there's 4 AA's right there. Just so he can dance.
Yep.
Eagle Piggle loves his blanket.
Aww. My grandsons were going through AA's playing Xbox. Like,
you go. He's a little older than mine.
Controllers, I mean, they would just eat through batteries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I use them for my wireless keyboard and mouse that I use to for the servers.
Have any of you guys seen EcoAlkalines in your local stores?
I haven't even looked recently.
I don't think they have them down here.
Look. Down in Tennessee. Yeah, I can find out for you. But you'll have them. So you'll be the first if anybody else has.
Yeah, sure. Trend.
I like up here, like I go into Home Hardware or whatever, mm-hmm. and they're there.
Oh, so yeah. I've seen them.
Usually cheaper. I was trying to allude to it today, but I didn't want to make any promises that I don't really know. But they're usually cheaper than like Energizer. I can talk like that because we're on Google Plus. But they're cheaper than Energizer, and they're actually better than Energizer. They test better than Energizer.
Oh, yeah. Actually, last time I was in Canada, I bought a bunch of them, bunch of packs of them.
Cool. Where'd you pick them up?
It was somewhere up by Barrie. I can't remember exactly.
You came to Barrie and you didn't stop in to say hi?
Yeah, what the?
It was on business. You know how that is.
Business? Man's got a drink.
True.
That's funny.
Well, that's cool.
World.
Yeah. Where are you actually from, Ravenlord?
Ohio.
Ohio, okay.
Very just cool. A short little jump. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Charles.
Ohio.
It's actually the first time I've used Google Plus.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It is.
This is cool. I like that we can do this. This is like the technology now is here to allow us to do a hangout, but the whole round of it. I think because it's such an evolving platform, that's what makes it horrible.
Yeah.
They're constantly changing it. Just to give you an example from a broadcaster standpoint, we have Category 5.tv, like Category 5 TV on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Linux Tech Show on YouTube. I also have my music on YouTube and my band and everything else. And so I've got multiple channels. So then they all of a sudden merge Google Plus with YouTube, and now, okay, well, I had a Google Plus account. I had created a Category 5 TV page, and I had created a Category 5 TV community when they said pages were going to be deprecated, and they never were. And then all of a sudden, YouTube comes along and creates a new Category 5 TV page based on my YouTube page. So now we've got 2 pages. One of them is not administered, and
one of them is.
Yeah, and so
I remember a couple of days ago you was talking about that on the IRC.
And
Garby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, and that is a bit dumb. They could have planned that better. Like, if I log into YouTube, it should say, "Okay, well, I see that you also have a G+ account. Great. Would you like to migrate your YouTube channel with that?" Creating a new page. Now I've got this page out there that I don't access, and people are adding it to their circles, and they're never going to get anything from me on it. But technically it's official because it's connected to our YouTube channel. It's ridiculous. I'd rather our YouTube channel be connected to our official Category 5 community. Wouldn't that be nice?
I've not been on my YouTube page in quite a while. I lost the password.
Oh, no.
I couldn't
just
get in.
You forgot password, and whoever stole your laptop will get it.
But now that I have Google Plus, I can log into YouTube.
Yeah. So you have to have a YouTube account because you got to go and subscribe to our channels, and like the videos each week. Even if you watch it live, still go onto YouTube and just like the video, just because it bumps up our standings.
Yeah.
That always helps.
Mm-hmm.
I got you guys on Google Plus and Facebook.
Awesome.
Terrific.
And what platform do you prefer to keep up to date with the show? So are you watching Facebook more than Google Plus, or is Google Plus more effective?
Live tonight, I go on to the website and go YouTube.
Okay.
Tomorrow, I'll go back and rewatch the show using my Roku.
Mm-hmm. And for community-driven stuff and for the updates that I post, are you doing that through Facebook?
Google Plus normally.
Yeah, okay.
They seem to be a little more up-to-date with things that you post than Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, Facebook does have a big delay on posts.
Hmm. If you are, I guess if you like Category 5 TV on Facebook, then or join the community there. I get so confused. Okay, do I like, I follow, I circle. All right, got it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Any questions for us, you guys?
Yeah. Well,
we're here. Hillary's here. She's not often.
I don't really got many answers to many things, so don't know how that'll go.
Be whatever. What do you do with your spare time?
What spare time?
That's... Yeah, what spare time? I actually was here for the live show tonight. Usually I always watch it after the fact because I'm never home.
Hmm.
Yeah, right. Ah. Well, it's nice to have you live. I think it's fun to be part of the live show.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It is fun.
It's been probably a month since I've actually watched the live show.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Well, you've been joining in the chat room a little more often during off-peak hours, which is nice.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people don't realize that, yeah, there are people in the chat room,
mm-hmm.
even when the show's not on.
Oh, yeah.
So, nice to see Raven Lords in there.
I'll just normally go in chat and just post a bunch of stuff, even if I don't get a reply.
Yo.
Yeah.
Just to do something.
Most of you guys, well, and you did it today, Tennessee Frank. You went on and you posted a bunch of messages, and I replied, and oh... He went offline. You guys are like, hey, anybody here? Okay, no, I guess not. Close. And it's like, I was typing, yeah, I'm here, dude. It's
like, Garby used to yell at me all the time for that. I'd say hello, and then I would get a response, and within 30 seconds, I'd leave.
Fine line between being too quick and being a lurker. You just got to find it.
Yeah.
So, or just lurk. That's fine, too.
I just have it here at the house and the shop. I just have it, my X-Chat IRC up all the time now.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
I know whenever I get to watch the Lennox Action Show, which is rare anymore because football's on now, but it's only noon my time, and Chris Fisher's chat room over there for Jupiter Broadcasting, there'll be over 300 people. In the chat, you maybe have 10 or 15 that are actually chatting.
Exactly. They're not really. Yeah, it could be a bunch of their computers.
Right.
Yeah, probably some IRC bot script.
Yeah. Just load up the channel to make it look good. But if only 15 people are talking. We tend to have a pretty active community during the show, so while we might have between 40 and 100 people, it's everybody's there. Other than Popey. Popey's been a lurker. I say that tongue-in-cheek. If you guys know Popey, you guys know who he is.
Yo. Right.
Was J-Bot not in tonight?
Jot, you mean?
Yeah, Jot.
I haven't seen Jot today.
I haven't seen Jot at all today.
No, how unusual.
Which is sad.
Yeah, he never misses a show.
I know.
He had a couple of weeks there recently, but hopefully everything's good.
That's like a couple weeks ago when Masterminds wasn't on.
Oh, dear, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I normally always try to make the show on Tuesday.
Yeah, good. Me too. I make an effort.
Yeah. I do occasionally.
322 weeks.
So crazy.
Hey, Charles. Nice to see you.
Your mic's muted.
Yep.
Yeah, it's right up at the top.
Yeah, push the microphone button where it has a cross.
Hey, Robbie, hope this is better now.
Yeah, now I can hear you.
There we go.
Better than the last time?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Okay.
the complete roboto.
Now I see that they've upgraded. What's that?
Did you get the desktop put together, Charles? Or?
Oh, yeah. A couple of different ones. That's just something I always have on the go.
Nice.
But I'm building a new a newer AMD based system, so looking for lots of advice because I've mostly been building older systems.
Mm-hmm.
So I put something up on that part picker website. That's pretty handy for matching up, making sure you don't mess things up.
So, why is Google Plus looking at me?
I don't know.
I
didn't say anything.
It's expecting
just a little, noise.
Maybe the camera clicking away.
Just took a drink of my water. That's good television right there.
Oh, riveting, just riveting, captivating.
We're sure.
Wow, your questions really got us on our toes tonight, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's contributed in the thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, just checking. Yeah.
Not as much as I'd like, but yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you, but you know what? Every bit makes a difference, and that's what I've said it before, but if everybody who watches the show gave $2.
I know.
That's crazy.
Honestly.
Well, I can't believe it. I mean, look at all of the years that you've been on, and I'm surprised that there haven't been more donations considering, mm-hmm. Considering the size of the open source community.
Right.
Yeah. I think this is our first time ever doing a fundraiser,
right.
So I think there's a lot of different variables, and, it's not a good time of year for somebody that wants to give a lot.
Yeah, I plan on giving some.
Yeah, cheers.
Probably tomorrow.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Well, thank you. Every bit helps.
Yeah, I think we can still do it. It's we're a long ways off, but if everybody was just a little bit here and there, and Masterminds had a neat idea where he's just giving $2 a week,
aww.
And it's like. That just makes sure that there's some activity there, and it's really isn't a lot of money. It's like buying a cup of coffee, but
yeah, it is.
It makes a big difference too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Found it easier just giving all at once.
Yeah. And there have been some too who had given one donation, and then I guess they got their paycheck or whatever, and then they donated again because people they get extra perks that way, or they just want to support the show as much as they can. Just like you say, Charles, we've been doing this for so long, so it's a cool opportunity, I think, for the community come together for us.
Is.
It's not the same as, I know, we saw Blackheim in the chat room tonight, and he was around back when we had a break-in, and we had a robbery, and, the community came together for that, and bought us all new hardware, and
so
replaced
great.
The laptop, and the camera, and everything else, and so that was, we needed it like it was like an emergency, and everybody came together. This is different because it's not an emergency. The show's going to go on regardless,
right.
So I think there's not the urgency there, but at the same time, we need to get out of my basement.
Yeah. Well, spread the word to your people.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did put.
I don't know if you saw it at the bottom. If you if you link people to the campaign and they contribute,
mm-hmm.
whoever gets the highest contributions is going to get an extra prize. So, and that doesn't require any money for you to do that.
I posted a link to the campaign over on the Point Linux forum too.
Oh, cool.
I've been.
I figured. Peter should be able to let us do that since you helped him with Point Linux. So.
Yeah. If Peter ever gives you a hard time, you send him to me.
Right.
Like, hey.
I've been letting people know at my shop, too, that you've been trying to raise money.
Yeah, cheers, man. I don't know if you saw it on Peter's site, pointlinux.com, I think it is. Is it .com, guys?
I think it's .org.
.org. Pointlinux. Yeah, it is .org, isn't it? Come to think of it. Yeah, right on the homepage.
Aww,
so that's good of them. I don't know if you guys saw that. I'll bring it up just so that we have permanent record of it. So that's the Point Linux website.
Yeah.
Help support Category 5. So, yeah, that's good to Peter for sure. That's the community I'm talking about, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The true open source community.
The community that would... And one of the things that Hillary and I were talking about last night, because Hillary was here doing a video shoot with me. You guys who follow me on Twitter know that. we were talking about how... You should be able just, like, the mindset of being able to just borrow a cup of sugar. It's like, don't think twice. Sure, here you go. You know? So it's like, if you need something, sure, that's what we're here for. So it's kind of a mindset as opposed to, there's no demands there. It's just, okay, Peter wanted to promote Point Linux. I love it, so let's do it. We're doing a fundraiser. He put a banner up on his site. It's just... community, but I think for open source, for Linux in particular, and Linux software and open source software, alternative software, the interesting thing is that we're building a platform that we can promote those things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. if like we had one of the girls from the Linux Foundation, for example, she retweeted us about our fundraiser. So it's like that to me, that's really cool because we're indirectly working together. You know, we're promoting their products, LibreOffice and Linux itself and everything else. But we're building that platform for other companies that are doing it, that are making stuff to be able to promote themselves.
I think that's something I've noticed about the Linux community is people are more open to help people.
Yeah.
I know with Apple and my iMac, it's just they always want to sell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything, though, there are always people in any community that will have attitude problems or anything else, and you don't know who you're talking to or what their life is like and all that. But I think Linux in general is because it's a mindset of being free and helping others and help. It's a different. Different way of it, like it's weird, eh? Because it's an operating system, but to me, it's like a way of life, I guess.
Yeah, more than just an operating system.
It sure is.
Kind of like an ideology.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
What? You pay for your operating system?
No.
And you pay every year for antivirus?
Yeah.
Oh heck no.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that if they buy banner space from us.
Actually, we paid about $3,500 for somebody to come in and code a PHP point of sale for us. So, yeah.
Wow, you got a deal. That's cheap for custom code.
It was, yeah. Mind you, so basically what we did, we built it on top of OS Commerce. So really, it was we'd already designed all the login screens and laid everything out, so it was just them coding it. And
so it was like a fork as opposed to a custom build.
I think he did it in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
So, but the great thing is, because it's in PHP, after the guy was done and gone, we had other volunteers that came along and could modify the code. And
Yeah. Very good. Cool. Well, how are you for time?
I can do a couple more minutes.
Yeah, okay. We'll do a couple more minutes, guys. So.
Oh,
and then I'll get your episode up. I promised Rob Gore that I would have the episode up before he finished his shift so that he could actually watch it.
Okay. Because
he was listening live through Category 5 Radio.
Oh, that's good. What a guy. What a fan.
This is awkward.
Silence, that awkward silence. Yeah.
So I got a question then.
Everybody's quiet, quick. put the camera on Robbie and Hillary. And so I was like, I've been talking for over an hour, folks. I need to stop. I'm feeling it.
Well, one about. Last question. Someone hit us with something.
Give us a question.
Or a thought, provoking statement.
Hillary, what do you think about horseback riding?
It hurts. That's all I got to say about that.
Anybody do better?
Hey, Robbie, have you ripped any Blu-rays under Linux? I just finished ripping one, and I tried encoding it using Handbrake, and when I went to play it on XBMC, it wouldn't play.
Oh no, I haven't because I don't have an HDTV, so I don't really do anything that's that high res. But we're doing a feature. Pardon me, sorry. We're gonna build a Vortex box in a little while. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It's a Linux PC that has a Blu-ray reader in it, and basically it's just a standalone device that you pop in Blu-ray, and it rips it. It puts it on your server. It encodes it. It's real nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
There's no interface. You just put the disk in, and it does its thing, and it ejects it when it's done, and you just end up with the file. So that's called a Vortex box, all one word, and we're going to be doing one of those on the show. We're just working through a pretty busy programming schedule right now. So, but you can feel free to go and Google that and see what you find.
That sounds great. Haven't heard of it. That's fantastic. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. So, and that'll be coming on the show as soon as I can possibly get to it. There's a fair bit of work that goes into a feature like that. So.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. Yes.
Cool.
Well, gang. Cool. So good to see you, and thanks for joining us for our little hangout party here.
Appreciate it.
Next time, bring snacks, okay?
I was going to say, who's bringing the beer next time?
We got half a 40 in the fridge I got to finish.
I'm moving to Tennessee. I'll leave the hangout running. I'll just turn off our camera kind of thing so that if you guys want to continue chatting, the hangout is still there. So.
Sure. Right. Night, Robbie. Night, Hillary.
Night, Robbie.
Night,
Hillary.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Night, Hillary.
That was cool.
So what are you guys doing tonight?
I'm setting up a bunch of servers, unfortunately.
Why unfortunately? Sounds like fun.
No, I don't want to do it, but I have to.
There. Yeah, I'm going to try and stick these babies into a system and do my first RAID box.
You doing the unRAID system?
No, I'm just going to stick them in and I haven't even checked the motherboard to see if I've got 4 serial ATA headers yet, so...
What I'm jumping right in.
Yeah, just to do a basic RAID 10.
Nice. I thought you... I was going to say, run RAID 5 and you don't have as much slowdown time on file transfer.
I think...
And you still have redundancy.
What I've heard... and I could be totally wrong, is that with RAID 5, usually you need a dedicated RAID card for that.
Oh, what was that? Sorry.
Oh, just what I read was that usually with RAID 5, it's better to have a dedicated RAID card, and I'm just trying to do this off the motherboard.
Yeah, it is.
Could you run ZFS with it, or you have to go RAID?
It's the first time that I'm going to be setting up any RAID, so...
Okay. From tuning into TechSnap with Chris Fisher and Alan Jude. Alan Jude's up there in Canada, and he loves ZFS. I mean, it seems to be a lot better than RAID from what I've heard.
That's what I've heard, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost...
people that I know that... they say it's really nice. It's a lot better than doing a normal raid.
I mean, that may be something you want to look into.
Is that for speed, redundancy, or both?
A little of everything.
Yeah, I was going to say a little bit of both.
And from what he was saying on the last tech snap, if you get a bad sector with ZFS, it'll rewrite that sector somewhere else. So it's almost self-healing. Whereas with RAID, if you get a bad sector and a drive goes down, I mean, that's just it. You're out.
Yep, your RAID array is dead. Yeah, I like using Unraid. That's another, or free NAS. That's another one that I use.
That would be important with these guys because these are all.
He must have a lot of packet loss.
Right.
He's going Roboto.
This is all stuff that's kind of new to me anyhow, so. But just from learning and watching shows and stuff.
If that was like Senti, or not Senti, but Cacti. Cacti. I never, ever used it before, and I went on YouTube and stuff and started form searching, and I figured out how to set it up and get it running correctly. Same with Xenos. I figured out how to... I'm not using the recommended operating system because it's supposed to be using Cine OS, but I can't stand it. I'm not a big fan of Cine OS.
Right. That's like with Samba and my three laptops. I was watching an IT pro show, and they were talking about networking, and I thought, well, I wonder if I could do that with my laptop so I wouldn't have to take a USB stick to move files around. And I got on, did a little research, and found Samba, downloaded it on all three of them, and linked them together. So now I got Samba share between the three of them.
Yep.
I mean, I would have never thought of that a year ago when I had my Mac.
Yeah, I do a lot of file sharing. My whole network is open share between the NAS server, because everything that I have is on the NAS server, all my operating systems, programs. So all I have to do is if, you know, I create a new machine, I just go straight to the NAS, grab what I got to, and load it up.
Wow.
If you can't see behind me, the server rack, one of them.
Wow.
No way I could get back to the apartment.
I'm going to go ahead and go.
42-unit server rack. It's basically 7 foot tall.
I'll catch you guys later, man. Have a good one.
See ya.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Good night.
All right, bye.
Yeah, I've got... Well, at work, so I, as you might know, I run a computer recycling project, and we get all kinds of great stuff in, including lots and lots of rack mount servers. And so it ends up being pretty cool.
Yeah, I was going to work for part-time for a computer recycling place, but the dude was a complete moron. I went, like he said he'd hire me, you know, he was going to hire me, he was going to have me come in and take a look at the, you know, his facility. I show up, he's nowhere to be found. I call him on his cell phone. He's like, please remind me, you know, he didn't even realize. I'm like, okay, never mind, dude. I was so wanting the job too, because with, you know, getting easy access to getting free servers and, you know, even if they're pieces of crap, you know, I could build, you know, rebuild them and make nice machines. But that didn't work out.
My issues. So many people, and it's a not-for-profit volunteer organization, and so there's just so many people that come in, and some people have completely no skill at all, and there are some with lots of skills, but they, you know, they just I don't know what to say. They just don't seem to be able to apply it. So there's people that have a lot of skill, but, you know, I guess
they don't
going
know how to apply
in, they're going in 50 million different directions and can't finish one job.
Not me. When I sit down and tear down a machine, it gets tore down to its complete bare bones, and then it gets rebuilt.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had some pretty neat stuff come in, and, you know, some of it I've just given away to volunteers. We had a complete Silicon Graphics O2 come in this pristine case. There was actually, like, a square carrying case from Sun and everything with this machine.
Wow.
And I already bought one of these things many, many years ago, so it wasn't of interest to me, mainly because, I hate work with the machine, and it doesn't use the same CD-ROM type format that you would have for a normal CD-ROM. So when you're burning a CD, you have to do it on the command line with certain options in order to really burn something that's going to be readable by Irix. And so I just said, hey, you know, you take this and good luck to you. Pretty neat little machine, but yeah.
Yeah, I've been using, right now, I just actually purchased two new Dell PowerEdge 2650s. They're older machines, but they're reliable.
Yeah.
I mean,
we have a couple there, and we have some 2050s, and those were actually using for the bigger, so I work for a not-for-profit that does more than just computer recycling. They're mostly job search-oriented, and they use that, and there's like 150 employees throughout different organizations. 2650 is a nice machine.
Mm-hmm. Even that it uses SAS 10K, you know, hard drives, you know, it's still, I mean, that's what 10 of the servers that are in this rack are.
Yeah.
And I use them as virtualization machines. And actually, the top one's my firewall. They make nice firewall machines, too.
Yeah, I've been trying to convince our sysadmin. We got in 8 of these storage arrays, and they're 5 terabytes each. They're fiber channel hard drives, and he won't use them. He's afraid, I think, to do the research. I mean, they're massive, right? They're big.
6U. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no.
They're 4U.
There are only 2U, actually. They're
2U,
only 2U,
really?
But all the drives, like, you know, there's...
Okay,
I
yeah,
there's
I know which
16
one.
Drives.
Yep, I know which one you're talking about now.
Fiber channel. We had them donated by a good source, and it was like, holy crap. And they told me, you know, these are fantastic, really reliable drives. It's just that they require a lot of power, and they give off a lot of heat. All we have to do is use one or two of these, and it would solve all of our storage problems. Like, we're running into storage problems all the time. And I don't know. I think he's thinking of just going out and buying a 4-box NAS box or something.
I'd use them.
Which, the fiber channel or the NAS boxes?
The fiber channel.
Yeah.
It'd probably be a lot faster, too.
Yeah, well, I've got
actually,
somebody else. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, them fiber channels are probably 3 times faster on file transfers than a regular NAS box would be.
Well, that was my thought, too, but, you know, I don't know. The guy's a little stuck in his way. So, I've got 8 of these things sitting there. Now, 2 of them are missing one drive in it, but the rest of them, there's over 5 terabytes in each one. So,
wonder how much one of them weigh.
Oh, I lifted them. They're about 60 to 80 pounds.
I was like, because I know the 2650 weighs 66 pounds.
Oh, yeah, this is more than the 2650. It's got some weight to it. But it's not as deep as those are. It's, I don't know, it's kind of hard to show on a webcam.
Yeah, it's probably about almost a half of...
A little more, yeah.
A little bit more than half of a 2650.
Yeah, I know what it feels like to have one of those 7 foot tall. Brain's just slipping.
mine is too.
Yeah, we had a donation of a great big cabinet, and it took 7 of us to get it down the stairs.
I got a friend that. Have you ever heard of Cox Communications? It's a internet and TV provider that's like for the whole Midwest.
I'll Google it.
I actually have a friend that's a T3 technician in their backbone that works there. And he was telling me some of the equipment that they have to carry in that place in the hub that he works in. Some of them servers are full 32-unit servers, server racks, of just one piece of equipment, of switches, that weigh close to 1,000 pounds a piece. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I usually have to deal with 1 to 4U servers max. Maybe once in a while a 6U, but biggest I usually go is 4.
Yeah, we've had a couple of compact 6U systems come in, but you know, older stuff like P3, Pentium 3. Yeah.
Oldies but goodies.
Yeah, well, I've benchmarked a couple of things. We got in one Dell, looked like a workstation, and had a couple of Xeon processors. I think it was in the 2.8 gigahertz range. We put in 4 gigs of ECC RAM. And I can't remember what hard drive, but I benchmarked it, and it was worse than a couple of dual cores.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I'm not quite sure why. I mean, it had dual Xeon in it, and I don't know. I didn't check the drive that well, so maybe it was, some bad sectors or something on the drive. But
yeah, could have been.
I've been running a number of different tests just to benchmark everything and kind of get different comparisons, and now I'm finding marking it just isn't a great way of doing things, because I benchmarked a Raptor drive using one test and it came out on top, and benchmarked it using another test and it was kind of middle of the road compared to some other drives. So
yeah, I've heard good things about Raptors, but I've heard bad things about them too.
Yeah, I know we run it in one or two systems where we need a little bit more speed, but that's what SSDs are for now, right?
Yeah, solid states are pure speed. But I don't really trust solid states yet. They're too still early.
I haven't bought one yet myself either.
I haven't either. I refuse to use them until they're at least a couple years old.
Well, I think I'm going to go out and get one for my wife just so that I'll experiment on her.
It's not cheap an experiment, but I guess it works.
Well, I mean, I think 120 gig is... I haven't checked the prices lately. $8,900, I think.
Hold on, I'll tell you. I'll look through my actual vendor and see what...
I guess unless you get a good one. I've heard some of this. There's certain Samsung ones that are pretty good. Just having a look here.
Yeah, I'm looking through my
Yeah, the.
I'm like, here's 128 gig internal SATA 3, 6 gigs a second for $133.
Which apparently has good reputation. $120. That's here in Canada. I'm just about an hour and a half west or southwest of Robbie, So.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the drive here.
I haven't been up to Canada in a while.
Well, I've never seen a show live, and actually I have my parents, they actually live in Barrie, so, you know, there's really no excuse other than the fact that I'm working Wednesdays, and, you know, I just can't get up there in time.
Yep. I mean, it really wouldn't be that hard for me to get up there. I mean, all I gotta do is do a little pond jump across Lake Erie, and then I'm in Canada.
Where are you?
Ohio.
Ohio.
I live 20 miles from Lake Erie.
Oh, nice. So what's that rack doing behind you then? What do you run off the rack?
There's a 24-port Cisco Linksys 24-port smart switch, gigabyte smart switch. Most of it's networking stuff right now. There's the 2600 or the 2650 that has PFSense on it, which is a firewall.
Yep.
Open source firewall. Mm-hmm. Right. Then there's another Dell PowerEdge 2650 that has turnkey LAMP server on it that's running my test forms. Then I actually got to go over and look.
well, I just meant, what are you running on the machines?
Oh, it's all Linux.
Like web servers?
Yeah, web servers, SQL, a couple TeamSpeak servers, then some game development servers that I have that I'm testing for friends of mine that are devs. Just some local network stuff, my NAS server. Just basically most people's stuff that they have in their house. Most geeks.
Yeah. Well, nothing like that, but got XBMC machine here. Okay. So that's the XBMC machine and connected up to our television here. And
hey, that almost looks like my computer screen. Here, I'll actually give you a nice little peek view of there's one screen. There's my screen to my right. There's a 32-inch that I'm seeing you on. And then there's another 19-inch. And then I have three more that go up top.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm very screen. I love my screens.
Yeah, this is just one 42-inch television. Took a little while to get everything set up the way I wanted, but pretty good setup now.
Yeah. I plan on actually moving the 32 and hanging it up on the wall and then running iFinity 3-screen on the bottom and then having three separate and just have all my monitoring and stuff on my main 32 up on the wall so I can monitor my network and all my machines.
Yeah, now iFinity, that's fairly new for me. Is that only the DisplayPort?
iFinity is where you take
multiple screens.
Yeah, multiple screens and stretch it as one.
Yeah.
I know with the ASUS Radeon HD 7770 video card, you can do it through, because it has two DVIs, a DVI-I and a DVI-D, then it has an HDMI and a display port, and you can actually run three screens through any of the ports. So you can run, you know, two DVIs and an HDMI or an HDMI, then a display port, HDMI, or whatever you want as your display port, and then a DVI.
Yeah, I remember doing, I did dual monitor way back when with Red Hat 9.1, and I can't remember what they called it at that point, but it was nothing like iFinity. I was running them off a 15 and a 17-inch CRT, and you had to edit it wasn't even Xorg, it was the other one before Xorg. I can't even remember, x11.conf or something.
Hey, I still am rocking the CRT in the server rack, because when I bought I'm rocking a CRT because I bought off of eBay, I bought one of the Dell pull-out, you know, screen keyboard pull-outs. Well, got it, keyboard worked good, monitor, it was like a 15-inch monitor, worked good for about 2 days, and then it pooped out. I'm like, screw this, took the monitor off, dropped the freaking 19-inch CRT, and I'm like, it'll work fine for now until I need to move more equipment.
Well, I guess you could always, you know, open up that monitor and check for bad caps or something. I suspect that's probably what it was.
Oh, I threw it away. I didn't. I took it to the recycler. I didn't care. I only spent like $20 on it. I wasn't out much.
I spent more on a remote control for this old Sun CRT I got a long time ago. Many years ago, I bought a Sun Enterprise server on eBay, and I got it for $20 plus $20 U.S. shipping, and that's actually about what it cost to ship it, because when the thing came in, it weighed 50-some pounds, so, you know, I probably got the most honest guy on eBay, because the shipping was almost as much as, you know, almost exactly what it would have really cost him to ship it. And so I bought this machine for $20, and then I sent it, it sunk about $450 in parts in it, and then eventually I gave it away.
Oh, it was like yesterday I bought another 24-port Cisco Linksys 24-port Gigabyte Smart Switch. $40 free shipping. I'm like, you know, it's Cisco, lifetime, you know, warranty, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, even if it is, it's worth the $40, you know. One way or another, it's worth $40. Even if it is a piece of crap and it doesn't work when it gets here. But it looked like, you know, it looked like it was in really good condition from the pictures. So, we'll see. I've had good luck and bad luck on buying stuff from eBay.
Yeah, I think I only had one bad experience, but I haven't bought anything in eBay in years, but... And it really wasn't a bad experience. I bid on something, and the bidding ended, and I won the bidding, and the guy never followed through with it, which wasn't a big deal, because I think I won like 70 sticks of RAM for 99 cents or something. Something crazy, and that was like Sun server RAM, right? And so I'm sure the guy intended to have a minimum bid, and he never did. And so, I mean, I really didn't.
You know, yeah, he wasn't. I'm not gonna
put a black mark on the guy's reputation just because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm actually going to look a guy that I know that works at the local hardware store. He said he had a bunch of Sun servers and his storage unit that he wanted to get rid of that he has no use for. Go over and take a look at them and see what they are, if they're actually Sun servers or not, or if they're blades. Mm-hmm. I'm like, are they regular servers or are they blades? I'm like, because there's a big difference between blade servers and regular servers. I'm like, if they're blade servers, I need the chassis, you know. Yeah, I might get $10 a piece for the servers, you know, buying them from you, but if their blades are useless without the chassis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this actually, I said, did I say Sun Enterprise server? It was actually an Enterprise workstation. But the listing, too, had listed it with 64 megs of RAM, which they knew wasn't possible since the minimum RAM was 128. And as it turns out, with this particular machine, it has 16 banks for RAM, and one of the it goes by four, so you have to have minimum of four sticks in it. And as it turns out, he had eight sticks in, but one of the sticks was popped up, so pushed it in, and I had 128 megs of RAM, which was funny because, I mean, it was a single CPU, 200 megahertz, Sun Enterprise 2 server, and by the time I was finished with it, it had a couple of gigs of RAM in it and dual CPU. Now, unfortunately, with that particular server, the only way to go 64-bit was with a particular version of the motherboard, and it wasn't that version. It was an earlier version, and so I fought at that time.
That's how it is with the Dell Powers 2650. It's 32-bit. It's not 64. I was mad as heck when I freaking found that out, because I didn't know. You know, I didn't know that it was 32-bit. I thought, you know, most servers are 64-bit, except the really old-school ones. And I got thinking, I'm like, I came home, got it, went to load freaking, what was it? It was Ubuntu 10.4 or whatever, LTS server, 64-bit. Popped it in, it's like, blah, 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 is not compatible with your CPU. I'm like, oh, not cool. Oh, well.
Well, I should head out. Good chatting with you. And,
yep. I'll see you
probably the next time.
Yep.
Okay. Good night.
Night.
Night.